A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com code PROGRAM.
Well, so far you've heard my voice, but then I brought two friends along. Next on the mic is my man, Jer. Come on, Jer, sing that song.
David Tyler.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
Yes, indeed. And the Lions' first test with South Africa is live and in full here on News Talk and across the OTB Sports Network on Saturday evening, with Brian O'Driscoll joining our own Neil Tracy on commentary for that one. Not to be missed, in case you missed the Lions team, it was confirmed earlier on today. Stuart Hogg is going to start at full back. They will have Anthony Watson and Duhan van der Merwe on the wings. In the centre, Robbie Henshaw is partnered by Elias Daly. Dan Biggar is named at out half with Ali Price at scrum half. We then have a front row of Wyn Jones, Luke Cowan-Dickie and our own Tadhg Furlong. In the second row, it's Maro Itoje and Alan Wyn Jones, back fully fit, it seems, and fit enough to start and captain the side. Courtney Laws, Tom Curry and Leinster's Jack Conan make up the back three. We have further Irish involvement on the bench with Tadhg Byrne joining Conor Murray there. And he's not once, twice, he's three times a Lion. Ronan O'Gara joins us on the line to look ahead to that first test. Ronan, we're into really the final approach now at this stage. When you were on your various Lions tours, and particularly that one in South Africa in 2009, like, what are your thoughts when you're 3 days out and you now have the team in front of you? How are you feeling?
Everyone feels differently, obviously, because there's different emotions along the test selection week. As we've seen today, very few people would have predicted that 23. It's extremely difficult. I suppose a group of players to pick, and you could see from Warren's comments in the aftermath that none of the coaching staff agreed on the 23, and it wasn't Warren's preferred 23, which is interesting that they adapt and play out a little bit of this guy and that guy in the selection policy. So very interesting from I suppose my point of view, listening to how they went about selecting it, and it's obviously a very democratic policy.
What's your initial impression of the starting 15? Because obviously the main talking point from an Irish perspective anyway would be Conor Murray being named on the bench, Nally Price being picked at scrum half. Is it a choice you would have agreed with yourself if you were in Gatland's position?
No, I wouldn't have. I would have played Conor, but I understand it, I think, and the fact that a lot of people probably struggle with the fact that maybe you want to finish with your best 15. And that's very evident nowadays in sport and many teams. And you're hoping probably away from home first 30 minutes or an arm wrestle. And your halfbacks will probably be changed after 50. Not necessarily, obviously, but you have someone of the calibre of Murray and Farrell. And I think Farrell is the key to the whole test series from my point of view. I think it makes it very interesting. And Liam Williams, so anytime, I suppose, there's an injury or something that isn't going well, I think the Lions are stronger from the back's point of view. From a forward's point of view, I don't have the expertise to say how the scrum is shaping up. And, you know, there's a lot involved in the scrummaging lock, the competition. So, for me, that's a little bit over my head. But, obviously, with the team, it was 6-2 bench, I think. That would have gone 5-3. And with Alwyn Jones, it puts a big emphasis, obviously, on Tadhg Byrne. And against the South African pack, it isn't a technical point, but weight will matter.
I think somebody pointed out that in terms of the sheer heft of both packs, I think it was our own Stephen Kisby Green, who's a South African. He pointed out that in terms of weights, I don't think there's too much difference in either of the starting packs. But the interesting point of it, I guess, would be the selection of Jack Conan at number 8, because on a purely kind of, you know, sentimental arc, you look at what he's achieved over the course of the last 18 months, where he didn't start a game for 16 months or longer because of injury. He's now found himself an integral part of the Ireland scene, and so much so that he's become a starter for the Lions. And that scene is a bit of a counteraction to what South Africa has done, because they picked Quagga Smith at number 8 instead of Dwayne Vermeulen. Dwayne Vermeulen would have been a bit of a hoss and might have been a bit slower. Talupe Faletau, again, in the same respect, mightn't have had the same engine as maybe a Jack Conan does. So it's obviously, well, I mean, not obviously, but perhaps even matching like with like and having someone more mobile to counteract what South Africa are presenting.
Yeah, and it's a good point you make. And I think for the first time probably in the history of a Lions squad or tour, it's very hard to name the incumbents or the people that you expected to probably grab that position. And obviously in Jack Conan's case, he's done an incredible job to get where he is. But if you look back at it, I think some of it was injury, but some of it was probably selection. CJ Sander, if I understand it well, was probably first choice number 8 for Ireland up to the time he retired. And you know what I mean, there's Faletau, there's Billy Vanapona, so there's such quality in that position. Yet Jack Conan is the guy who's going to lock down the scrum at 8, and
I think we just lost Ronan there for a moment. We'll try and re-establish his line. Coming from Francis is proving a bit tricky at the moment, but as I say, Jack Conan being particularly happy to start at number 8. I think we have Ronan back there. Ronan, you were saying?
I was just saying, in terms of the number 8 position, there is such a sort of opinion about the opportunities and the choice who can play there. You look at Billy Vanapola's strength, you look at CJ Sanders, who is still available for selection for this tour, you look at Toby Faletau, and now you have Jack Conan starting in that position. It is another example, I suppose, of how open the selection was. And I think it will be difficult for this group of players to excel on Saturday, because they have not had a required amount of time together to establish probably a style of play or cohesion or relationships among them. And it's, you know, you look at it from it's a Scottish 9, a Welsh 10, an Irish 12, an English 13, and a Scottish 15. So it's three Scottish matches, probably history in the making for a Test Lions team. So everything is it seems very new.
How many games? I'm not saying there's a hard and fast rule for this, but in terms of, from a coaching perspective, from a playing perspective, you've been on both sides now, obviously, how many, roughly, how many minutes do you need, how many games do you need on average for these kind of combinations for it to be certain in yourself that you know they're clicking?
I'm probably of the opinion that you need a few weeks.
Right.
And I was tossing this in my head today when I was coming on to discuss it, because I was asking myself, would Ireland, England and Scotland, Wales, as a single entity, have a better chance of beating South Africa? I probably think they would, because the difference between a settled side who have established relationships, trust, systems of play established, as opposed to, I have a feeling that this looks like a Barbarians or a World 15 select playing South Africa, because of the limited time. And there was some very interesting data online today with the lack of timing or the lack of combinations of this current Test Lions team going into battle against the established world champions, it seems that the advantage is very much with South Africa.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Nienaber yesterday really spoke up the benefit and the upside of the fact that I think it's 13 of the 15 played some part in the Rugby World Cup final. I think 17 of the matchday squad in total played some part in the 2019 World Cup final. And he's obviously carried the crux of that through. They've had their own bumps and knocks on the road in terms of COVID and stuff like that. But he is talking up cohesion, whereas obviously this is always going to be the case with the Lions, but they haven't necessarily gotten a chance to put these combinations together properly in a meaningful sense over the last while. Do you think they... Like you mentioned at the top there, talking about the team selection, how it's been a pretty democratic process. Do you think that somebody, particularly Gatland, should have taken the bull by the horns and gone with his instincts in this selection?
No, but because I think he would have. Warren's a strong character. There's no doubt about it. He has huge experience. He's been in this situation in three previous tours. I think he knows exactly what's required to get results. I do believe that it will be a tight game. I think... The bait for South Africa was to establish their game. I don't think they need to establish their game because what they do extremely effectively and are devastatingly good at it. But sometimes when you reach that level of personal attainment after winning a World Cup final, you search new ground. And I don't think new ground suits them, as you could see in the one game we saw against Georgia. They tried to play with wit, but that's not their game, and I think if they try that, it'll play into the Lions' hands.
In terms of Alan Wynne-Jones coming back in and being this captain that I guess everybody thought was going to be out of the series because of that dislocated shoulder, he's come back in remarkably quickly, showing a full recovery. Obviously, it's a risk. Is it a wise risk to throw him in from the start against what is going to be a pretty tough pack in the South Africans?
I think it's your only option. I would always... Really? From my days in coaching, with someone of that nature of an injury, the risk involved in carrying Alwyn in your 23, if you put him on the bench and after 50 minutes you make a tactical change and Hamish Watson, for example, has already taken the field and Alwyn Jones goes for a collision 3 minutes after taking the field, you end up playing with 14 players. So that is the risk involved with a potential player carrying a predetermined injury going into a test match.
Would you have any, like, if it's one of these things, I guess, whereby it's a shoulder injury, you're going to know far out from kickoff, I guess, on Saturday that he's okay to play and he's okay to take contact?
Yeah, you do, definitely. Yeah. And I think what's very good about this management team is there's been a lot of settled staff, and I know the strength and conditioning staff because they were there on the 2009 tour when I was there, I think, and the Bobby Sturgeon and Dave John Clark from Wales and England respectively, and no matter how important the character or talismanic figure Alwyn Jones is, the responsibility of the strength and conditioning staff is to make sure this guy can bounce off the ground and his shoulders in place.
On the South African side of things, because I wanted to touch on this as well, it's more of a known risk, as you mentioned there, when you have somebody who has an injury to a joint and you know whether or not it's going to be okay in contact. The unknown is when you've got somebody like Siya Kolisi or Makhosele Mapimpi on the South African side who have come back from isolation only on Monday. Both of them have had their brushes with COVID-19, which isn't any great laugh, judging by any other sports people who have come through this over the last while. That seems to me a greater risk, throwing them in to start this first test, than an Alan Wynne-Jones.
Yeah, you're correct, because the latest data suggests that every athlete reacts very differently to the after effects of COVID, and I've known it from the season I've gone through here at La Rochelle. Some guys it's a little impact, other guys it's knocked them for 90. So I think it's a very much wait and see approach. But I suppose as we've talked to earlier on, they're sort of offering massive value in the trust and the relationships and the connections that they've established from winning World Cup. and they're looking to bring that through against a team that has not established, I suppose, a level of cohesion yet.
I'm not getting the greatest air of confidence from you, if I'm being honest, around about the Lions prospects.
You just love to be in the camp, be it the South African camp or the Lions camp. Obviously, the Lions camp, from my point of view, to actually, the training ground gives you so many indicators. We, the public at home, don't get to see, but usually you play how you train. So you're looking to see, can you transfer your training form onto the test pitch? So for me, I'm a little bit stabbing in the dark because I'm not aware of the intensity of training and the level of training and the accuracy and skill level involved in training. You would assume that the mindset would be very good for the Lions, because what an opportunity playing the world champions in their backyard. Obviously, there's not spectators there. But in terms of making the most of an 80 minutes, what an opportunity for these players on Saturday. It'll be one of the best feelings they'll ever get in their life. And I think it is very possible. The negatives are, as we said, the lack of cohesion, but also the lack of training time, and the fact if you play Saturday, you probably have two decent hitouts, and there you're Tuesday and Thursday, and it's very hard, irrespective of how good the players are and how mentally sharp they are, to attain or retain information, new information, especially from a Thursday on.
This thing is going to be, as Warren Gatland mentioned, Saturday's test anyway, it's going to be an arm wrestle, and it's going to be one nobody wants to lose, because then everything is on, obviously enough, the second test. The second test in these series is always, I guess, the most crucial, because it'll either settle it or it'll take it to the third. There seems to be a little bit of an eye on that one, I guess, with the starting 15, but nobody's going to want to cede any ground. Do you see an open game? Do you see an ugly game? How do you envisage this one going on Saturday?
No, I see a kicking fest.
Right.
I think tactically the Lions have picked two left footers, and Ali Price and Elliot Daly, so I think they look to exit their half with a Norris policy, and I think they look to start better than the South African A game. If they do that, I think they'll back their fitness probably in the last quarter of the game.
That's what you're kind of guessing, is that when you look through that bench, it is a bench that does have and does offer, the Lions one that is, a sense of dynamism that you can add to the game coming into it. It's not just people that are plugging holes, it's people that can come in and actually affect the game, and Farrell would be the key one in that, I guess.
Well, exactly. Even for me, I'm not English, but if you're watching the telly, I get a lift on Saturday when you see Owen Farrell coming home, because he has presence and I think he's a winner, and a lot of people will rise to his appetite to do something special on Saturday.
Kind of puts the pressure on Dan Biggar to really perform from the off, though, doesn't it?
Of course it does, but as Ty Furlong said, it's big boys rugby. So that's why you play it. It's Dan Biggar has achieved everything he's wanted at the start of the test match, and that's fantastic for him. But as you know, and I know from playing in Lions games, it's important that you do the best you can and you try and put your stamp on a game. And unfortunately, I didn't do in the second test, so that's why it hurts.
Does it still rankle with you?
For sure it does. It's, especially when you had a captain like Paulie there, and you wait 4 years, it's the ultimate feeling, opportunity as a player to play for the Lions. It's a very, very special few weeks of your life, and you put everything into it, and I've come to accept that sport, but at the same time, would you like to change it? Damn right you would.
When this comes round every 4 years or every 5 years or whatever it's been now because of COVID, does it eat at you still? Like, do you enjoy Lions, discourse? Because
yeah, I do, of course, because I wouldn't change the decision, but I changed the execution of what I wanted to do. But that shows what happens when you're put under pressure, and I didn't perform well under pressure, potentially knocked out, but that's what happens.
Looking forward to the series ahead, like, we think it's going to be a kicking game, obviously, this coming Saturday. Does that change how you view the series as a whole? Is this going to be something that the Lions are always going to be on the back foot for the three tests?
No, I don't. And I think with that too, there's a beauty in kicking accurately.
Yeah.
But can people kick accurately? That'll be fascinating to watch too. If there's 60 kicks on Saturday, how many will be accurately? You can be sure Fast the Clerk will kick it accurately. So that's where South Africa have an advantage. And then you're talking about winning the air, and South Africa are very good at that. But I suppose what's probably still under the radar a little bit is how good is Colby. Like, people should go and watch him whenever they get an opportunity, because this boy is extremely special.
Keeping the ball from getting into his hands has got to be key then.
Yes and no. I think for me, the key against him is you've got to get your spacing right. If you empower a player with more than 3 meters of space, he'll burn you. But I think you've got to really narrow your defensive line against them, because for me, it's the same as Bowden Barrett. The team, when Bowden Barrett or Colby doesn't have the ball, his team are less effective.
Mm. How much has this the empty stadiums thing going to play a factor? Because playing a Lions test in front of 50, 60,000 people in Cape Town Stadium is one thing.
Yeah, there's no doubt there's something missing on this Lions tour.
Yeah.
There's a very empty, hollow feeling to it. Maybe that's with the background of the COVID situation, particularly in South Africa, lingering in people's mind. But it feels not like any of the other tours. Obviously, the massive downside is the lack of supporters and the brilliant Lions touring fans. But it's a strong, strong disadvantage to the Lions players.
Even from the sense that there will be no home fans, essentially, like, is it something that you just want to prove, A, something to the people who have travelled to support you thousands of miles, obviously?
I just think no matter who you are, be at home or away, there's a massive amount of enjoyment sometimes in a perverse way when you get the better of the home fans.
Mm.
That's when real players stand up, and it's a very powerful, special feeling.
There are some massive financial implications on this happening or not happening, and essentially that's why this has gone ahead. But do you feel like they would have been wise, or they would have been the better option to wait or hold off for a situation maybe in a year's time where you can handle
fans? I don't think so, because the club game then would be probably potentially dead. It's only when you're involved in the club game. Even in France, you're dependent on the test game. If the test game doesn't work, it doesn't happen for any of us.
Yeah. Quick note before you go, because we got the Champions Cup draw today. You're going to be up against fairly familiar opposition in your pool. Have you had a chance to digest it? Are you looking forward to it?
Obviously, from last year, it's been an incredibly exciting competition, and one that you want to have a crack off. And there's two games, obviously, with Glasgow and Bath. So that's all you look at. You've got to get results against them to put yourself into, I don't know what the word in English is, the Huitium finale.
The last 16. My God, you've become a native.
The last 16, wow.
Yeah. Look at you.
I've lost it.
You've gone full native over there, Ronan. That's absolutely unbelievable. The Huitium finale.
Sorry, that's soccer terms, though, isn't it? Because we've never had that in the Champions Cup.
Yeah, that's
never
true.
Never been a... What did you call it? A last 16. Huitium finale. Huitium finale sounds better.
It does indeed. Everything sounds better in French, Ronan, I think.
Yeah.
Before you go, quick score prediction for Saturday.
1-0. Good
answer. We'll bring you live commentary of Saturday's first test against the Springboks. Brian O'Driscoll is going to be alongside Neil Tracy for that one. And our Lions coverage is brought to you in association with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. Ron O'Garrett, try and enjoy it as best you can.
Well, so far you've heard my voice, but then I brought two friends along. Next on the mic is my man, Jer. Come on, Jer, sing that song.
David Wheeler.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts, and download the OTB Sports app.
A new year is full of surprises. But one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.